We're continuing on this morning in the series, The Highway to Healing. And if you have your Bibles, or if you want to look on the outline, there's an outline in the bulletin with all the verses. But in Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at that, verses 1 and 2 in just a moment. Today we're talking about transformation, a change of the mind, a change of attitude. And as many of you know, Deacon and I hang out together on Sunday mornings, and this morning I got him ready and went outside to get the papers while the ladies continued to get ready. And we got down to the bottom of the driveway and got the papers. Of course, I went out first and I got a head start, but by the time I got down to the bottom, Deacon was there. He ran down and made it okay. And then when we start back up, that's a different story. You know, when we went out this morning, we had that Southeast Tennessee humidity back after several months. I've not felt it like that in several months, and that kind of hit me. And we've got a steep driveway, and I got to thinking, I'd like to be transformed back up there to the house, but I got Deacon down here, and somehow we got to get up there. And I thought, Lord, if we could just make progress, if I just keep little Deacon moving, we can make it. And we did. And that's what transformation is about. That's what being changed and having a change of mind and a change of heart and a change of attitude. It is a process. And if we'll just keep moving toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His power and His strength, that transformation, whatever needs to be changed in our life. Now, on this highway to healing, we've been talking about several different ways that really many, all of us, not many of us, but all of us, we're recovering from something and need to be healed from something. A lot of times we think the only people that need to recover are those who are alcoholics. Yes, alcoholics need to recover. Drug addicts need to recover. But all of us have things in our lives that we need to recover from and be healed from. And that's what we're talking about today. We're looking at the fact that we need to incorporate change into our minds, into our hearts, into our lives. The change that God wants to make in our lives. And we need to bow and humbly ask God to remove those character defects that keep us from changing and being all that God wants us to be. Because we have habits in our lives that are destructive. We sometimes have hang-ups that keep us from moving forward and being changed. And the verses that I want us to look at today is Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. And then let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Transform. Be changed. And God says that the way He transforms us is by the renewing of our mind, by transforming the way we think through His Word. And so I want us to ask a few questions today. The first question that I want to ask is the question of where do these character defects come from? And second of all, why does it seem impossible to overcome some of these character defects that we have in our lives that keep us hung up and keep us in destructive habits and keep us from being healed and recover from those things that harm us and hurt us and cause us pain in our lives? And then the last question I want us to ask is, how can I join God? How can I learn how to join God in the work that He wants to do to change my life, to change whatever it is needs to be changed? So the first question we're going to ask is, where do these character defects come from? First of all, they come from our designer genes. They come from our genetics. Some of those character defects are inherited. And character defects can be physical and emotional. They can be social and they can be spiritual. And this one is physical and emotional because both your mother and your father contributed to you 23,000 chromosomes each. And you also inherited not only those chromosomes, but you inherited some of the weaknesses, not just the strengths of your mom and dad, but you inherited some of the weaknesses of your mom and dad. And so there are some physical defects there. There are some emotional defects there. And this explains your inclination towards certain problems. And so what I want to hasten to say, though, as we are right here, I want to say this up front. Character defects never excuse a sin. It never excuses sin in your life. You can't just say, well, my parents were that way and I inherited from my parents and therefore I can do it. No. If you inherited anger and you fly off the handle very easily, it does not give you the permission to go out and commit murder because you have a temper problem. And it doesn't give you the permission to go out and bite somebody's head off because of that anger in your life, that sin. And God never excuses sin. But God says that there are some character defects there, physically and emotionally. But not only physically and emotionally, there are character defects socially. And so they come from our environment, secondly. And you were raised a certain way, and you had certain people around you, not just your parents when you grew up. Certainly they influenced you. But there were other people around you. You had brothers and sisters, possibly. You had cousins. You had teachers. You had different people in your life. And you learned certain things, certain social things from those people in your life. You learn to respond to your own needs in certain ways and how to cover yourself, how to handle hurt and rejection. And a lot of your defects are simply self-defeating attempts to meet unmet needs. For instance, if you have a need for security, which is a legitimate need to be secure, and every child needs that to know that they are secure, and all of us have a legitimate need for security. But if that is not met, if that need is not met, then we're going to try to meet it in a negative way. And we're going to try to meet it in material possessions or in materialism or whatever it may be. And so we get character defects from our environment. Third, our spiritual defects, character defects, come because of our decisions. We don't always make good decisions. A lot of times we make bad decisions, and that hurts us spiritually. You know, you decide to do something one time. And then, before you know it, it has become a habit. And it's a destructive habit. And it's sort of like when I was a teenager, I used to get to go visit my uncle up in Michigan that had a dairy farm. Woo-wee, that was my vacation. But I loved it. Loved my vacation working on a dairy farm. Because I got to go home after 2 weeks. They had to stay on the farm. But I enjoyed that 2 weeks. But there were places on his farm where there were ruts. And if you were driving that tractor and you got in those ruts, you could just let go of the steering wheel and it just continue on down that rut. And if it was wet, it'd be muddy and slimy. You know, it really does illustrate decisions that we make. Maybe it's just one decision that caused us to be in that rut. That muddy, slimy, dirty rut. And there is a rut in our mind. A spiritual rut in our minds. It causes our minds to make bad choices. And spiritual choices that draw us away from God. And cause negative things in our lives and hurt and different things in our life. But you can have positive qualities too. You can get in a good kind of guide. Sort of like a car wash might describe God's guide, you know. You get that guide there where you can let go of the steering wheel. And you get cleaned. You know how you get cleaned spiritually? You know how God cleans you up spiritually? It's by His Word. By the Word of God. If a young man, if a person, anybody wants to be clean, if you want to be pure, you are pure by the Word of God. And you are cleaned up that way. And so it's the decisions that you make. Either you're going to stay in that dirty, slimy habit of being in that rut that Satan has placed in your mind, and then he's caused hurt in your mind, or you're going to choose to let God guide your life through His car wash, the Word that purifies you spiritually. And so that's where our character defects come from. So why does it seem impossible at times to change these defects? Well, one reason is because you've been in those a long time. You've had those defects for so long. You didn't get there where you are overnight. And so you don't get delivered from that most of the time overnight. Second reason is because I think, well, that's just my personality. That's just the way I am. And we make that excuse. The Bible says, God says that you don't have to be that way. That you can change, that He has the power to let you change, to help you to change. And so just saying that this is a part of my personality, that's just the way I am, that is, you are being defeated in that area. And then the third reason why it seems so impossible to change these defects is because there are rewards, there are kickbacks. You know, a lot of times we talk about rewards, you know, rewarding kids or rewarding one another for maybe memorizing a Bible verse or doing something that's good or coming to church even. You know, God's kingdom is based on rewards. Have you read the New Testament? Have you read the Bible? Jesus said that we will be rewarded. Those who follow Him, those who trust Him, those who live for Him, there is a reward. And so many times because of our character defects, there is a payoff, there is a kickback, we get some type of a reward or we wouldn't do it. You know, we wouldn't allow those things in our lives if it wasn't something that we would gain, we think that we're gaining from. So it may mask my pain for a little while. It may excuse my failure. It may allow me to compensate for shame in my life. It may get me attention because I want attention. My defect may allow me to control people at certain times in my life. And so there is a reward. There's a payoff. There's a kickback. And so that's why it seems so impossible many times to let God change that character defect. And then there's a fourth reason, because Satan discourages you. And he discourages me. He's constantly planting negative thoughts into your mind. And he is the accuser. He says, this will never work. You can't change. You can't get out of this. You can't break out of this. You can't recover from this. You can't be healed from this. You can't change. And some of you, many of you, have been coming to this series. And you've been listening to these sermons and you've been thinking, well, it's possible. This is good. This is something that could happen in my life. And I'd really like to break out of this addiction. I'd like to break out of this habit. I'd like to stop hating that person. I'd like to stop hurting from the past experiences years ago that happened out of the schoolyard. I'd love to change. And then you get outside and Satan starts to say, who do you think you are? You'll never change. That other person beside you that's sitting beside you, they might be able to change. They can change, but you can't. You'll never be able to change. And so he discourages you, and he's always saying these negative thoughts to you. Worse than that, he says, if you try to get rid of this, you'll go crazy. This is a part of you. This is a part of your personality. If you try to get rid of this and you move toward God and His power and you begin to change, you'll self-destruct. Because this is a part of you. The Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says that Satan is a liar. And in John 6:44, the Bible says, Jesus said that Satan is the father of all lies. And he lies to you. But the Bible also says, the truth shall set you free. So let's look at how God uses His truth, how He will cause us to join Him in the process of changing character defects that keep us from enjoying who God created us to be. The first way that we do that, Romans chapter 12, look again in verse 2. He says, let God transform you. Let Him. You know, stop kicking against God. Stop wrestling with God. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Change the way you think. Your thoughts are your grooves in life. Those grooves that you get into, the ruts that you get into. And if you want to change your life, then you've got to get out of the rut. You've got to get out of the groove. And the way you do that is you change the way you think. And the Bible says your thoughts determine your feelings. And your feelings determine your actions. And so I want to give you seven ways to change your mind so you can cooperate with God in changing you and make you what you've always wanted to be. The first one is that you need to change one defect at a time. Proverbs 17:24 says, "The mind of a fool wanders everywhere." I've got these 35 character defects, so I'm going to work on all of them. No, don't do that. The Bible says that the fool tries to do that. Your mind just goes off everywhere. And you're going to be overwhelmed if you try to do something like that. And no, the Bible says that we need to, one at a time, we pray to God. And we say, "God, I've got these 35 character defects. I've been writing them down during this series. And here's what's going on in my life. I got 35 of them. God, which one is causing the most damage in my life?" Just get down on your knees and say, "God, which is the one you want me to start with?" And God will show you that one that you start with. "God, this is what I want you to work on, or you've revealed to me that I need to work on. It's my anger or my anxiety or my tendency to control people or my workaholism or being dishonest and telling lies. So God, help me know where you want to start. Change one at a time. Second thing is trust God for daily successes. You know, back in the Old Testament in Exodus, when the Israelites were wandering around in the wilderness because, you know, the story is the spies went into Canaan, the land of Canaan. They had those spies go in there, and only two came back out and gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And the other spies, which I can't remember their names, I could go back and read their names to you, but we don't remember their names because they gave a bad report. And the people listened to them. And because of that, that generation, God says, "You will not enter the promised land. Your children and grandchildren will, but you won't, because you did not trust me." And so they're wandering around in the wilderness and they're saying, "God, you brought us out of Egypt to die here out in the desert. We're starving to death." So God sends manna. And here's what happened. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. The Lord said to Moses, "Now look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for them. Everyone can go out each day and gather as much food as he needs." And so what God was saying is, "I want you to learn to trust me. But not only do I want you to learn to trust me, I want you to trust me day by day." And really what God wants us, not just day by day, he wants us to learn to trust him moment by moment. Now, I'm not there yet, but I need to be there, and I want to be there. But if you just start with day by day. And so that's why he said for the Israelites to go out each day. If they gathered any more, it just turned sour. It was awful to smell, and they had to throw it out. Why did God cause that to happen? Because he wanted them to trust him that he would send it the next day, enough for them for that day, for them and their families. And so the point of this is God wants you to trust him for daily successes, moment by moment successes as you move away from those character defects. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6:34. "Do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough troubles of its own." So don't set yourself a deadline. Don't say, "Well, I want to be delivered from this character defect by 3:00 this afternoon." Don't do that. You're setting yourself up for failure. God wants you to trust him day by day, moment by moment. And so to know that when you get to the end of the day, no, maybe you're not completely overcome that, but you had some successes. And you can lay down on your pillow at night and you say, "God, thank you for those successes, that movement, that progress that I made as you're transforming my thinking." And then the third thing is to tap in the source of power. Tap into the source of power. And if you're going to incorporate change into your thinking, you've got to do that. Because depending on your own strength just blocks healing. It blocks recovery in your life. And when you say, "Well, I can work it out and I can handle it and I can do it all by myself," God says, "Really? Really? Go for it then." They say, "Well, it's not such a big problem." Well, why is it still a problem then, if you can handle it and it's not such a big problem? God says, "Tap into my power." Look at Jeremiah 13:23. God says you can't do it on your own. Can a leopard take away his spots? Nor can you who are used to doing evil now start being good. God says, forget trying to do it by yourself. Forget trying to do it in your own strength. You can't do it that way. But here's the good news, 1 Timothy 1:12. How thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for giving me the strength to be faithful to Him. So you pray, Lord, I know I can't change on my own power, but I'm trusting You to take away this defect. I want you to literally imagine God taking away your defect. What are you working on first? Is it anger? Is it something else? Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's pornography. For some of the men who are here today, there may be some here this morning. Because it is everywhere. And men, even inside the church, wrestle with that. So what are you working on? Is it your temper? Whatever it is, imagine this in your mind. Imagine taking that pornography or taking that temper and throwing it in a garbage can. Just throw it in the garbage can and put the lid on the top of the garbage can and set the garbage can in your mind, literally outside by the curb. And then the garbage truck comes up, and you know what the garbage truck says? It says, God and Son, serving people like you for 2,000 years. And so Jesus sends out one of his buddies. And he picks up that garbage can. And he slams it down, that garbage in the back, that temper, that pornography, whatever habit it is. And he slams it down in the back of that garbage truck. And he crashes that down. And then they speed off with it. So imagine that in your mind. Then it's gone. That God has taken it away. And you imagine that not just daily or weekly or monthly, but moment by moment. The fourth thing is to determine to think right thoughts or righteous thoughts. Proverbs 12:5, a good man's mind is filled with honest thoughts. Do you know whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're focusing on in your thoughts, that's what you're going to move toward? You know, if you're focusing on a temptation, guess what's going to happen? You're going to yield to that temptation. You know, really, I cannot find anything anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says to resist temptation. Now, it says resist the tempter, resist Satan. Why does it not say to resist temptation? Because those things that you resist tend to persist. Those things that you focus on, if you're resisting it, you're focusing on it. You know, it's sort of like something bad comes on television, you don't want to watch it, and you're sitting there, the TV's on, and you got the remote in your hand, but you say, I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to watch this. Is that what you do? No. You either turn it off or you change the channel. And so that's what God says to do with those thoughts. You don't say, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to think. If you're saying that, guess what you're thinking about? You're thinking about what you don't want to think about. He says, replace it with something from my word. And memorize scripture in my word. This is power of affirming the word of God. And the word of God is what cleanses us. And there are thousands of promises in the Bible. And probably the most helpful discipline that you could develop is learning to memorize scripture. And if you're having trouble turning over these character defects or these things that you can't handle yourself in your own life, if you're having trouble with that, here's a good verse, Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It is God's power that delivers us from that. And so you persist in looking at the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God week by week. If you learned one every week, you would have 52 new verses by the end of the year. But every time you think of Scripture truth, every time you think any thought, it makes an electrical impulse across your brain. And each time you think of that scripture or you think of any thought, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper in your mind. And so if it's scripture, then you are thinking of the positive things that change your life. And you're thinking, if you're thinking about, if there's something that is holding you down and holding you back, where somebody, when you grew up, was said, maybe it wasn't your parents, maybe it was somebody else that had a great impact on your life, or something, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be able to do anything in this world. Don't focus on that. Focus on Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you've got that verse in your mind, you can focus on that rather than on the negative. And every time you think a positive thought based on the Bible and you claim that kind of a verse, or somebody that says that you're worthless, that you're of no value, then you think of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I'm in Christ and I'm valuable. Or every time somebody tries to tell you, or you think you ought to be afraid of something that's happening in your life, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. So you keep repeating the verses, and it sends that signal in your brain, and it gets deeper and deeper every time. And so you focus on the Word of God. And then the fifth thing is follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not your feelings. Because feelings will lie to us. Romans 13:14. But ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you live as you should. And don't make plans to enjoy evil. When you do the right thing, your feelings will catch up to you. You say, well, I just don't feel like doing this. Well, do it anyway. If it's the right thing, we need to do it anyway. And if you'll do it, when you don't feel like it, if you do what is right, when you don't feel like it, do it until you do feel like it. Because if you will do it when you don't feel like it, you will eventually feel like it, and it will happen in your life. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, one of their phrases is fake it till you make it. That's what that's saying. You may not feel like it at the moment, but you know it's the right thing. Do it anyway. You say, well, I just don't love my wife like I used to. Well, it's because you're not doing loving things. You're not saying loving things to her or your husband. I just don't love my husband like I used to. You're not doing and saying loving. And I just don't feel like it. Well, do it anyway because this is the right thing. Eventually, you'll feel like it. So follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sixth, sharpen your life with sharp people. Sharpen your life with sharp people. Get around godly people that will help make positive changes in your life. They know the Word of God. They're living the Word of God. They're not perfect, but they're moving toward that transformation of the renewing of their mind and being clean 100% by the Word of God. And you find people like that, and you rub shoulders with people like that, and you pray with them, and they pray with you, and you are sharpened by sharp people. The Bible says that two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And when you have help from another person, when one person falls, the other can help him up. We said this in the first sermon in this series. But those of you who are here, most of you who are here, you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me when I said this. You can't recover on your own. You can't be healed on your own. You can't get away from that destructive habit or that hurt or whatever it is, that hang up on your own. You've got to have godly relationships in your life. We need one another. And you'll never recover just listening to 6 or 8 messages. It happens when you're with other people who are changing and have changed their thinking to godly thinking. Notice Proverbs 27:1. As iron sharpens iron, so people can improve each other. You need relationships. And then the seventh thing. Be confident that God is moving you forward. Be confident. It doesn't look like I'm moving, Lord. It doesn't look like I'm making any progress. Well, God says you're making progress. And He says it's a process. And so it takes time. But it's a decision that you're going to follow that process that God has in your life. Look at Philippians 1:6. God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in His grace until His task with you is finally finished. You're saved. You're a Christian. You say, well, I am, but I just don't feel like I'm progressing. I'm not where I want to be, and it just seems like I'm stagnant and I'm stale. Well, God said that I began a good work in you, and I'm not finished with you yet, and I'm still working on you, and you are going to progress as long as you stay within my will and in my plan and listening to me and my word. You'll grow. Now, the bottom line is this. You and I need God's help to overcome. We'll never overcome anything unless we have God's power in our life. I don't care whether it's alcohol or food. I don't care whether it's lying or what it is. We'll never overcome it until we've got God's power and we're following God's power and we are looking to God's word to be clean. The truth is, we are all recovering from something, and I cannot do it on my own. You need Christ as your Savior. If you do not know for certain that you're saved today you can be saved. You can be saved. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. I cannot do this on my own. I cannot live this life. My decisions are leading me down the wrong path, Lord. I want to get on your path. Come into my life and change the way I think. I'm repenting of my sins. Come into my life. Forgive me of those sins. You can be saved. Or maybe you are a Christian. And you've gotten away from the Lord. The power is just not there. The successes aren't there. You're not progressing because you've gotten away from Him. Maybe it's not very far, but you're away from Him and you need to come back to the Lord today. He's calling you to come back. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. Our Sunday school class is going to be praying. Our classes that are going to be praying, you come on. Come to the altar and be praying. We're going to be praying during this time. Maybe you want to come and join them at the altar. Maybe you're saying today, for the first time, I've invited Jesus Christ into my life, or I thought I had done it before, but I'm not sure. And today I want to be for sure that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I need Him in my life. I cannot make it without Jesus. 1 second longer, you come. Or as a Christian, if you've gotten away, you come and get it right with the Lord today as we sing.